This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. Our scripture today, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Colossians 3, 15 through 17. And I know Deacon Harry Johnson is jumping up right about now. Deacon Johnson, you can sit down, Sister Johnson, tell him to sit down. I know he loves Colossians chapter 3. I know that, Deacon. Every time you say, he said, that's my scripture. But he loves all of chapter 3, but we're doing 15, 16, and 17. And it reads, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, redeemer, and deliverer, we come right now in the precious and powerful name of Jesus, asking that you would have your way in your word on this day. That everyone who hears this message, God, would hear with an ear to be what you desire for us to be and to become. Bless us, God, that we can truly be a blessing unto others. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. We'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Have your way, God. Thank you right now, God, for what you're about to do in and through us. We're excited about your word. Excited about doing your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. In our series of sermons and our studies, Bible study and others, we have been focused on the third part of our mission statement. Our mission statement is seeking God, shaping lives, serving the world. Or another way we put it is seeking God through worship, shaping lives through teaching, and serving the world through mission and evangelism. And we've been focusing on the serving the world through mission and evangelism. We've done a series and we talked about and we've dealt with why serve. We've talked about why serve, number of messages on why serve. So again, we reiterate, we serve because it's God's will. It's his will. He designed us to serve. So it's his will. And we know it's his will that none should perish. That's where the mission and evangelism come in. We do mission even with the purpose of making sure that others come to know Christ. And if they know Christ, they will grow in Christ and be stronger to do his will. So we've been dealing with why serve. And then we've kind of moved into how serve. How do we serve God? And how do we serve God? So we continue today. Once you know that we ought to be Christians, as Christians, that we ought to serve, once you know that, then you know why we ought to serve, and now we know it's God's will, and now we're dealing with how we do it. How do we serve? And how do we serve is extremely important. The question is, how do we rightly serve God in these difficult and trying times? So, seeing that we want to be faithful to our calling to serve this present age, let's look at three ways that will instruct us on how to serve God in times like these. Let's talk about how to serve God in times like these. And immediately you say, times like what? What do you mean times like these? I'm glad you asked. COVID-19 times. Coronavirus times. We're still sheltering in. We are still sheltering in. We are still sheltering in. Yeah, I said it. Yes, we're still sheltering in. We need to do that. That's the information we're receiving. And we're still washing our hands for at least 20 seconds with soap. Don't get weary in well-doing. Keep it up, my brothers. Keep it up, my sisters. We're washing our hands at least for 20 seconds with soap. And then we're keeping our distance at least 6 feet from one another. When we're around others, we're doing that. And I say that's when we're around others who we don't particularly, who we're not living with. I know you said, Pastor, you keep saying 6 feet. And I looked at that wonderful musical aggregation you have. And they're not 6 feet apart. Well, the only reason we have particularly that musical aggregation is they're all one family. And we just couldn't find any others right now, families that will come down and do that like that. That's how they can stand together. So we're keeping up with that, making sure that you're keeping your distance of at least 6 feet. Very important, very important. And we're asking you, when you're out in public and around other people, that you wear your mask. You wear your mask. And that's for the purpose of showing your love for others. Now, I know people get it twisted sometimes and they think if you're wearing a mask around them, you're trying to tell them that you think they got it and you're scared that they're going to give it to you. No, 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 no. You're wearing your mask to protect others. And others ought to wear their mask to protect you. So now if you're around folk, you can't feel like you're safe because they don't have a mask on. You know, oh, they don't have a mask, so they must be all right. No, they don't have a mask, and I mean they don't care about you. We need everybody to wear your mask when you're around other folk. Wear your mask. If you're going to get, particularly if you're getting as close as 6 feet to them or whatever, wear your mask. Everybody should have a mask. If you don't have a mask, we'll help you find a mask. There are plenty of masks. The city just got, I think it was 45,000 masks. We're going to make sure that everyone has a mask. If you're going to be out and about and going to be closer to people, wear your mask. Be obedient. That wearing your mask is showing you that you are being protective of others, particularly young people. Please wear your mask and help out all us old folk. You know, y'all could be around and y'all young and you think nothing going to happen to me. Wear your mask when you get around us old people. I say to Deacon Riles, us old people. That's right. Wear your mask around us. We love you. We know you love us too. Amen. So we're not just wearing our masks. Because the masks we're wearing, these masks don't keep us from getting the virus from somebody else. It only keeps us from spreading it to somebody else. I have to get that out there because some people didn't know that you could be asymptomatic. Some people didn't know that you could have the virus and not have any symptoms. Yes, some people didn't know. I don't want to call no names. But people in high places did not know that you could have the virus and not actually have the symptoms. So you can actually go around for 2 weeks. So if you went around 2 weeks spreading it, not knowing you have it, everybody you go around is going to end up with it. Or could be positive, could end up being positive for it. I had to take time to do that because I wanted to know. These are the times we live in. It's the times we're in now. And I don't want to be carrying around the disease and spread it to you unintentionally. And I know none of you would do it intentionally. So that's why we wear a mask. That's why we wash our hands for at least 20 seconds. That's why we distance ourselves. That's why we are sheltering in. That's why. That's the reason why. Well, I got to stay in this house. I'm tired of being in this house. That's why. Amen. Trust God with this. Trust God with this. God has a way for us to make it through all of this. So how do we serve in times like these? That's a great question. How do we serve in times like these? Times like what? How do we serve in troubling times? When a young black man jogging through a predominantly white neighborhood gets targeted, hunted, and then killed, doing one of the things that everyone has said we ought to do during this time of sheltering in, during this pandemic. They're saying we ought to take time out to get outside and exercise. Young man was just jogging down the streets in Brunswick, Georgia, my hometown in Brunswick. And yet doing this, who would have thought that it would not be safe to jog in Brunswick? But yet he's jogging, yet he's killed. How do we serve in this environment? What is it that God would have us to do? How will we serve when all of this is happening around us? Well, let's look at three ways. Let's look at three ways of how we serve and how God will guide and direct us in the midst of serving this present age our calling to fulfill. First, the word of God is clear. It tells us, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule. Yeah. In the midst of whatever you're going through, let the peace of Christ rule. Yeah. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, rule in you. Now, the operative part of that for me is, it said, let. Somebody say, let. Yeah, let. Well, what does let mean? I'm glad you asked. The dictionary says, not prevent or forbid. Let means to allow. Let means permit. Let means give permission to. What the Word of God is saying to us when it says, let, yeah, let this happen, is that you have the capability for it to happen. You have to allow it to happen in your life. No matter what's going on, you have to allow the peace of Christ to rule in you. You have to allow it to happen. You and only you can take control and position of yourself and allow yourself to let yourself have peace. Everybody else not keeping you from having peace. You have to allow the peace that God has placed in you. You have to allow the peace of God to take residence in you and in your heart. We need peace. You might think, well, I can live without. No. We need peace. That's why he's the Prince of Peace. We need peace. I'll never forget when I was a child. It must have been middle school. And in Brunswick. And there was a guy that was going around that was beating up everybody. He could fight. Now, we weren't talking about bullies back then. You know, they're just people that beat you up. We ain't know what to call them. Just, here he come, he's going to beat you up. And this guy, he was just wanting to fight everybody. And got to a point when I was tired of it. And I'm saying, I know one day he's going to look my way. And I'm going to get him. This is going to be the last fight he has. Yeah, I'm going to show him something. I'm ready for him. Time out. Let him come my way. True story. Matter of fact, the story is so true that years later, his son came and actually joined First African Baptist Church. And I had to tell his son about me and his dad. Anyway, we're going to have this fight. So here I am. I'm ready. And I'm mad. I'm getting ready for him. He comes up. We're getting ready to fight. And he comes at me, looking at me like he's going to fight. And boy, I just start swinging. Oh, I'm swinging. I'm so mad. I can't believe you. Come on, go to game. Yeah. And I'm calling myself fighting. And he's standing there looking at me. And all I'm swinging, he's going. Pop. Pop. Pop, pop. Pop. I'm tired. He done wore me out. Beat me down. I lost. He looks at me and he says, "What you so mad about?" He said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "I beat you because you weren't thinking at all. All you were so mad, so enraged, you just swinging and you fighting. Never forget this. You had no peace." Whew. If only we could take time to allow the peace to rule in our hearts. It gives us an opportunity to think before we react to so much stuff. You can think better when you're at peace. You can think better when you're not enraged. You can think better when you're not trying to figure out how to get back at. Woo! Praise the Lord. Allow the peace of God to rule in your heart. To rule. Yeah, we need to understand this. The word translated rule is an athletic term. It means to preside at the games and distribute the prizes. Paul used a variation of this word in the letter to Colossians. Let no one declare you unworthy of a prize. Yeah, that's the literal translation. In the Greek games, there were judges. Today, we would call them umpires. And there were judges who rejected the contestants who were not qualified, and who disqualified, and they disqualified those who broke the rules. Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. The peace of God is an umpire. Yeah, it's an umpire in our believing hearts and in our churches. When we obey the will of God, we have his peace within. But when we step out of his will, even unintentionally, we lose his peace. One song says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. But be careful. Be careful. Just because you declare you have peace does not necessarily mean you have peace. Beware of false peace. Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, Jonah deliberately disobeyed God. Yet, he was able to go to sleep in the hold of a ship in a storm. I had peace about it is not sufficient evidence that we're in the will of God. In other words, if you're doing something and you know it's not in God's will, and you say, well, I'm okay with it, I'm fine with it, it doesn't mean that you have the peace of God just because you're fine with something that's not fine with God. We must pray. We must surrender to God's will. We must seek his guidance in the scriptures. And the peace of heart alone is not always the peace of God. Something else is involved. If we have peace in our hearts, we will be at peace with others. Family, church, others. As a church, we are called to be one body. And our relationship in that body must be one of harmony and peace. If we're out of the will of God, we are certain to bring discord and disharmony to the church, to our families. Jonah thought he was at peace when actually his sin created the storm. Whew. Jonah sleep. But because of him that the storm came about, we need to ask God, we need to allow the peace of Christ to dwell in our hearts. Allow God to speak to us that we may have the peace he wants us to have. Secondly, not only let the peace of God rule in your hearts, secondly, we must let the word of Christ dwell. We must let the word of Christ dwell. Yeah, verse 16. It was the word of truth in the gospel that brought salvation to the Colossians. He's saying it's a word. The same word gives us life and sustains us and strengthens us. The word will transform our lives. If we will permit it, again, if we will permit it, the word of God can transform our lives if we will but permit it to dwell in us richly. Yeah, let the word of God dwell. Allow the word of God to dwell. Say, Lord, it's okay. Allow God's word to seep in your mind and your heart and take control of your life. Well, what does it mean by dwell? I'm glad you asked. The word dwell means to feel at home. Let the word of God feel at home with you. Just be so comfortable with God's word. You have to question, well, is this true? Can I believe this? What is the word of God saying? No, just trust God and his word, and allow God's word. Be at home in God's word. If you have experienced the grace and the peace of Christ, then the word of Christ will feel at home in your hearts. We will discover how rich the word is with spiritual treasures. It gives us value in our lives. However, we must not think that Paul wrote this only to individual Christians. He directed this to the entire church body. Let the word of Christ dwell among you is a more possible translation. As it dwells richly in each member of the church, it will dwell richly in the church fellowship It would dwell richly in the church membership. It would dwell richly as we practice discipleship so that we don't mess and miss out on the old ship of Zion. I like those ships in there. Yeah, let me do that one again. It would dwell richly in church fellowship and in church membership as we practice discipleship so we don't miss the ship, the old ship of Zion. Woo! We ought to dwell in his word. Why dwell in his word? It's his word that will not return void. Why dwell in his word? It's his word that changes not. Why dwell in his word? It's his word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Why dwell in his word? It's his word that lets us know no weapon formed against us will prosper. Why dwell in his word? It's his word that teaches us if God be for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. Why dwell in his word? It's his word that teaches. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. We have to dwell in his word. His word has us in front, in back, all around us. His word is strong. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The word is supreme in all of our lives. We need to trust God in his word. Thirdly, lastly, after we let the peace of Christ rule and the word of Christ dwell, we must then be thankful. That's it. Be thankful. I gave you the peace of Christ ruling, verse 15. The word of Christ dwelling in verse 16. And now we get to the third one, be thankful. Pastor, what verse is that in? I'm glad you asked. It's Colossians 3, 15, 16, and 17. Let you know how powerful it is to be thankful. What do you mean it's in that? Well, let me read 15, 16, and 17 again to you. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Verse 17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wow. When there is peace in the heart, there will be praise on the lips. And be thankful. The Christian out of God's will is never found giving sincere praise to God. When David, covered up his sins, he lost his peace. When David covered up his sins, King David covered up his sins, not only did he lose his peace, he lost his praise. But can you see David? When he confessed to the Lord, when he realized what he had done was wrong, when he confessed his sins, then his song returned. Yeah, created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. It came back because he had to praise God. He had to be thankful for how God has brought him through. Take time right now, my brothers and sisters. Wherever you are, take time right now to reflect on your relationship with God. Reflect on your relationship with others. Take time right now to let the peace of Christ rule. Take time right now to say, Lord, I need you. I want to allow the peace that you place in me to rule in my heart. Yes, God, I need that. I need that peace, God. I'm not going to fuss about it. I'm just going to have you allow the peace that you give me to rule in my, to be in my heart, to be in my mind. Lord, take time, take time. Lord, I will allow your word to dwell in me. I will allow your word to just take prominence in my life. When you say I am fearfully and wonderfully made, I'm not going to doubt what you said, God. If folk tell me I don't look good, I'm not a good person, I'm looking at what your word says. Your word says that I am wonderfully, fearfully and wonderfully made. Your word says that we are saints. I'm going to trust your word, God. I'm not going to hear what others say. I'm going to trust your word and dwell in your word. Go ahead, take time right now to say, Lord, that's what I'm going to do in my life. Ask him to create in you a clean heart. Ask him to renew a right spirit within you. Now, if you've done all that,
Just take time now to thank him. Thank him for everything he's done. Thank him for everything he's doing. Thank him for what he's about to do. Thank him for what he's doing in your family. Thank him for what he's about to do in your family. Thank him for what he's done in your employment or in your schooling. And thank him for what he's about to do. Thank him even in the midst of the coronavirus. You have an opportunity to thank him because he's blessing you right now in order to be a blessing to somebody else. But if you can't thank him for anything else, you have to take time to thank God for doing one thing for you. If you can't thank him for anything else, you got to thank him for sending his son to 42 generations who came to this earth and went about doing good. You got to take time to thank God because he loved us so much that the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You ought to take time to thank God for sending Jesus to this sin-sick world. You ought to thank God that Jesus allowed men to talk about him, to ridicule him, call him everything but a child of God. You ought to thank God that how they abused him, how they ridiculed him. He kept his face set like flint. He went on toward Calvary. He knew that he had to give up this life that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You ought to thank him how they whipped him all night long. You ought to thank him how they took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. You ought to thank him for how they talked about him, how they ridiculed him, how they pulled the hair out of his beard. You ought to thank him because they marched him up to Golgotha's hill. You ought to thank him because they put nails in his hands, nails in his feet, crown of thorns on his head. You ought to thank him because he hung on the cross for all of your sins. He hung on the cross for all of my sins. And the Bible says he died. He died. He died. But the story doesn't stop there. Oh, no, no, no. That's not how the story is. He was placed in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday. Stayed there all day Saturday. Stayed there all night Saturday night. But early, I knew somebody said with me, early on that Sunday morning, he got up with all power, power over the grave, victory over death. He ascended into heaven, sent back the Holy Spirit to live in us and to guide us and to direct us on how to serve in these present days. I just got to take time to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. He did it all for me. He did it all for me. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Thank you, God. He did it all for you. He did it all for me. I just got to praise him. You ought to take time right now and say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for all you've done. Lord, I thank you. You've given me the race to run. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.